this is an opportunity for you to do that. And so they'll have those papers out there, and you can pick one of those up, and whatever dollar amount that you could do to support them as missionaries, amen, that would be a blessing. Amen. I'm so excited to have the Strickland family who is here with us tonight. And we have one of the daughters who's in here, but their other one, they do have two, and she went back, and she's out there with our children. And they came all the way, flew all the way from Ireland on Monday, and they didn't fly the easy route, which would be to come here close by in Indiana. Instead, they flew all the way to Oklahoma City, and they made the trek this direction here yesterday. And so we're so excited to have them here with us. Amen. They are, I asked him before service tonight, I said, so where did you come from? Where did you grow up? And he said, well, that's kind of a hard thing for me to answer. He said, I'm from everywhere. My father was a church planter in Louisiana, and so we kind of bounced around there in Louisiana. And then he grew up on the mission field in Greece, and his wife, Sister Maria, she is from Italy. Amen. And so we have a very global, amen, couple here, amen, who is with us here tonight. And so if you could just give them a warm New Life welcome here in Kendallville, amen, as Brother Strickland comes. I told him just to have his liberty to share the work that they're doing, and then just to preach the Word of God to us tonight. Amen.
Serving with my family, having gone over as a missionary in the journey, there were a lot of challenges, a lot of second thoughts, a lot of tough decisions had to be made. Having served most of my time in Greece, my ministry, my young ministry, serving with my family, having gone over as a missionary kid originally. It was a big, big decision. But we felt that the Lord was definitely in it and was leading us to seek for that place that He wanted us. And we took a step of faith when the time came. We spoke to our superiors and told them we're not going to seek another term in Greece. God has another place for us. Once we took the step of faith and decided that we're going to just trust God and God's going to open the doors for us,
God had given me a personal vision that I realized later was the country of Ireland after we felt our spirit. That was what God really wanted. I spoke to God different ways, and I said, God, you're going to have to make sure that whatever we do, I understand that's your will. What I feel for Dublin and Ireland today is just love. It's just something that many, many times I walked through the city centers, through the city, and I just cry.
Began to just survey the needs in Ireland. What is it the work needs here? And it was just so clear to me that it just needed more churches, more meeting places, more preaching points. Every single family that God has connected us with, we just allowed it to grow through our connections, our social work, our community work, our relational work, and just God keeps bringing us quality families. And that was another thing. God later already said, I want you to name it the Family Church because I'm going to bring you families. Going from Greece to Ireland was a very emotional journey for both of us, and it was a long journey, so it's hard to just highlight every very important confirmation and spiritual moments in that journey. Bishop Francis just this week was talking with us, and he said something that just put it all in perspective. He said, when you first came to Ireland, you were promised a church. He said, God gave me a district. Prepared her heart as a little girl to come to this land. And when we landed here, it was home from day one. And we're here with no regrets, no regrets. It was a long journey. It was a trying journey. We grew leaps and bounds in the journey. But now we see.
Praise God, people. Amen. Isn't it exciting to see what God is doing? Somebody once said, build it and they will come. And there is some truth to that in the kingdom. I'll tell you what I have learned in my experience. And, I just turned 50 this past week, so it's growing. Experience is growing. I don't know if I'm just getting older, if I'm learning anything along the way, but I hope. But this is what I've learned. If you will allow the kingdom to be born in you, to grow in you, there's something innate, the DNA of the kingdom, of this thing that we call the church. Amen. That it grows out of you as well. That's why Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Not on earth, but in earth, as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. And I know the media sort of comes into the middle of a story there, but my wife and I were privileged to serve over 20 years in the country of Greece and pastored one of the great churches in our movement, the Crossroads Church in Athens, Greece, for that time, where we saw over 25 churches planted in over 10 different nations, and saw that Crossroads Church grow to over 600 members at some 5 campuses across Athens to 40 different nationalities. Amen. What a privilege it was to serve in that community and see what God is doing around the world. But some 10 to 12 years ago, the Lord began to speak to us, and he began to move upon our hearts, and what he was saying to us is, look, you've developed the leaders here, you've got cultural pastors in every position, the church is thriving, it's going, it's moving, but I have cities without voices. I have countries without voices. You're just about the right age. You're young enough. You can do this again. And I need you to do this again. When we begin to share this with our superiors and my friends and my family, everyone thought I was crazy.
why would you leave one of the best churches in Europe to go and start over? And I said, I know it doesn't make sense, but I know what God is saying. I know what God is speaking in my heart. And we didn't make the decision overnight. We allowed it to gestate. We allowed it to grow and the season to be right. But when the season was right, we stepped out in faith, and that's what we were talking about. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, God is faithful. God is faithful. If you will step out and you believe and you will trust God, God will do incredible things in your life. I don't have time to tell you the whole story tonight, but I want you to know, amen, that God has been good to us. And when we went to Ireland, although I had been a part of planting many churches through our mother church and seeing that they were developed properly and see that they were founded properly, I had never started a church in my living room, just my family, myself, and God. But I had always been taught, you and God are a majority. Yeah. Right? And I just believe that. And I went to God when we began, and I said, Lord, you know, we've used this program and that program. We've used this development discipleship program, Purpose Institute being one of those. And we've used this, that, and the other. So, Lord, you know the situation here. You know the spirit. What is the best tool to use here in Ireland? And God said, none of that. And I said, oh, thank you very much. Not only did you put me here all by myself, but now you're going to make me start over with tools as well. What's your plan here? And the Lord spoke a word to me. It was so very clear. He said, let it be organic. He said, I will connect you with the people that you need if you will just cultivate the fields that are available to you. And I'd done this long enough. My dad was a church planter. You start passing out flyers and letting people know you're opening a new church. The first people that knock on your door and call your phone are the ones that want you to pay their light bill. And I'm not saying those aren't legitimate needs, but I knew we weren't in the place resource-wise to be able to help in those needs. And so I said, God, we need pillars. We need rooted people. We need people who will help us to grow a community here who can minister to these needs. And I'm happy to say God has been so very faithful. And in the last 3 years, as I said in the media deal, we saw very clearly what we need. When we came to Ireland, there was one apostolic church in Ireland 4 years ago. But I'm happy to say with the working together with our missionaries, not only our missionaries, but other apostolic people that were in Ireland, we have seen that grow to 10 churches in Ireland. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it is our vision to plant as many churches as possible. My vision is to plant 20 churches in Ireland before I get too old to do this. Amen. That's my desire. That's the legacy I want to leave behind. I remember in Athens, God spoke to me and said, why are you trying to build one church of 5,000? Build 100 churches of 50. He said, you'll have a greater impact. And this is the desire. We want to build churches. We want to plant churches all over Ireland. I'm going to tell you what, we are well on our way. God is doing incredible things. We started in our living room 3 years ago. We opened up the Family Church of North Dublin. Within a year and a half, we opened up the Family Church of Blanchardstown. Amen. And I'm happy to tell you, just last month, we opened up the Family Church of Galway. Amen. Over now 100 disciples. 100 disciples at all three campuses. I'm not talking about constituents. I'm not talking about people we baptized one time. I'm talking about people who come and are faithful and give and serve and are learning ministry. I'm talking about God is adding to the church. Hallelujah. And if that doesn't get you excited, something's wrong with your exciter. Hallelujah. Because that's what it's about. And I believe God is going to enable us to fulfill. We don't have to cap it at 20. God wants to do 50. Hey. We'll be happy to see that. But the goal is, my friends, we've got to get houses of refuge to where people are hurting, people are needy, people need to hear the hope that is in the gospel. Praise God. Would you pray with us? Would you partner with us? Would you help us? We have all kinds of slips and forms and things that you can fill out after service if you want to help us. But if you just connect with us somewhere here tonight, help us, please. Okay? We don't want to be here. We want to be home. I'm just going to tell you. Amen. If I am done tonight, I am leaving. As soon as I can drive back to Oklahoma, pack up my things, I'm going back to Ireland. I don't need a vacation. I don't need to just hang out with some people. I don't need to eat at certain restaurants. I want to go home. And where God wants us to be, and my family feel the same way. So if you feel to help us tonight, please. Amen. God will bless you according to your faith. We appreciate you. And I appreciate again your time. We understand in these times that time is an important asset, a valued asset. And for you to set aside a whole, is it Wednesday? Yeah, I'm a little bit caught between here. Yeah, Wednesday evening, just for us, that says a lot. And we appreciate it. We value it. We honor it. And we're not going to wear you out tonight. We just want to minister to you a little bit. Before I do that, I want to introduce you to my wife tonight, because my wife is what missions is all about. She was not born and raised in this country or in this apostolic way. But because of people just like you, we said, you know what? A missionary came by and said, you know what? I've got a burden. I've got a passion. I've got a call. And you said, you know what? I want to go with. Man, how can I help you? And you helped him, and he went. And he went to her country, the country of Italy. He didn't go to Rome. He didn't go to Milan. Of all places, he went to Catania, Sicily, and began to preach this beautiful message where her father heard it for the first time when she was 8 years old, and he received it and was baptized. And now the whole family's serving the Lord, and I think it's awesome that now she's a missionary back to her own continent now for over 20 years in two different countries. And what a wonderful partner she's been, a friend, amen, and a warrior, a battler and a fighter. I'll never forget when God opened the door to Ireland, I had to go to her, and I was worried. I said, how do I convince this Mediterranean girl to give up the sunshine for an umbrella? And when I walked into the room and I began to share with her, babe, I think I know where God wants us to go. And she began to cry when I mentioned Ireland. She said, you know, before we married, I told you that there were places that I always wanted to go. You got to understand, in Sicily, they don't travel. They don't get out much, you know. They just pretty much stay at home. And she always had a heart to travel, to go. And she said, of course, one of those was Athens. And I said, yeah, but she said the other was Ireland. And I never told you that. And I said, wow, you know what, God, you were preparing her heart many years ago as a little girl for where she would serve. And I'm going to tell you what she said up there on the screen is true. She loves Ireland. She loves Dublin. And she wants to go home too, right, babe? Amen. Come on up here, sweetheart. Amen. This is what it's about. It doesn't get any better than this. You know, we see it on the pictures. We hear missionaries telling us how many people got baptized. But here it is, right here in living color, a living epistle tonight of what missionary work is about. Sister Maria.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Yeah, I don't like to see myself in that video, but because I keep looking straight somewhere else. But whatever you see, it's really what we feel in our hearts. It's a very emotion every time we speak about it, because it is so real within ourselves. And every time I watch it, I just feel like I'm there. And we're really looking forward to it. It is our home. And we step in dead land and we said, this is it. This is what God wants us to do and to be in it. So thank you for your support. Thank you for being here with a wonderful, I cannot imagine what happens on Sundays here. This is beautiful to see people here on Wednesday night, no matter what your day has been. And we have been very refreshed to be here. It was a long trip, but you know what? It was all worth it to come with the children of God to worship with you. So thank you for your time. God bless.
Praise God. Well, that's the commercial. I know we have limited time left, and you have work and school and what have you tomorrow. But I want to just leave something with you real quickly tonight. This may not be typical missionary stuff tonight, because I'm just sitting over there and God spoke to me to share something with you. And I'll tell you, this is fresh off the grill. It's not really developed the way I would like to develop a sermon. It just came to me on the plane. coming back over. Now, Pastor referred to it just a minute ago. Last Tuesday, I landed in Dublin, flying from the States at 7 a.m. I went to my house, took a short nap to about 4:30 p.m., and then went to a house group meeting at 5:30, and there I ministered and shared with some of our people and some visitors till about 10 p.m. I went back to my house, went to sleep, woke up at 4 a.m. Wednesday morning, and went to the airport and got a flight at 5:30 a.m. to Glasgow, Scotland, where then I got on a train to go to the Highlands in northern Scotland to visit some of our pastors in the northern district. As you see, not only are we missionaries to Ireland, but we are now accountable to the northern district of the UPC of Great Britain and Ireland, which is all of Scotland, all of Ireland, and all of northern England, some 30 churches and preaching points in these countries. But we want to expand that. We want to grow that. Amen. And so I, 5.5 hours on the train up there, and then spending the night with one of our pastors, and then got up the next morning, took another 3-hour train ride to another one of our pastors, and spent the afternoon with them, then took a 6-hour train ride back to Glasgow, where Thursday evening we started our 30 for 30 mentoring conference, where we've seen over the last 10 years, over 30 young men and women accept the call to ministry and pursue licensing with our organization. Praise God. Amen. Participated in that conference, and then Saturday we had district board meetings all day, and then I got on a plane at 8:30 p.m. that Saturday, even flew back to Dublin, and got up Sunday morning, preached in one of my churches, a combined service of two of my churches, and then we had a fellowship for pastor's birthday, amen, and celebrated with them, and then I went and preached Sunday night for another one of our churches, and then got on the plane early Monday morning and flew back to Oklahoma City, where I arrived late Monday night, and then yesterday morning we all got in the van from Norman and began to drive here. And while I'm telling you all of this is because we're glad to be in Kendallville tonight. Amen. That's how bad we wanted to be here and be with you and be a blessing to you. And so I just want to share something. I really don't have time to do this justice, but I'm just going to run through this as fast as I can tonight. But and if you get tired, just leave. You won't hurt my feelings. Amen. Just fill out one of those forms back there on that table before you walk out the real door. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Thanks, Pastor Gilliland, for making us feel so welcome. And Brother Duffy, again, it was a pleasure to meet you. You know, I made a big mistake asking the pastor, where's the pastor, when I came in. He looked so young, man, and fresh. And you know, but you know what? That makes me happy. It's so great to see. I'm pushing on the general board. I get so for this year at our general board meeting, our business in Great Britain and Ireland, you know, I just watched young man after young man step down from service, you know, and when their names are called, oh, I remove my name. I got up after that. I went and grabbed about 4 or 5 guys. I said, what is the matter with you guys? Stand up and be numbered, man. Stand up and serve. If we're going to make a change, if we're going to make a difference, engage in what's going on. We need our young people to rise up. Amen, and lead. I don't know if that means anything to you tonight, but I'm happy to see, amen, young men answering the call in their life. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. This doesn't make any sense to you. Again, I told you all that other stuff because if I get names wrong or something wrong or quote something wrong, just forgive me. I'm still over the Atlantic Ocean. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Nudge somebody next to you and say, you got a calling. Amen. I think we're all aware tonight we're not here of our own choosing, but it is God that has brought us into this house. None of us have called ourselves, but God. When I step out in the afternoon to call my children into play, I don't call my neighbor's children. Huh? No, I call Ashley, Sienna, time to come in. And you are here tonight because God said, you're mine. Amen. You belong to me, and you answered that call, and you were in this house. You may not have realized what was going on, but that's what's going on. There's a call. And so the apostle is saying to us, now that you have this distinction, now that you have this great honor, think about all of those that are not here tonight, that have not yet received that distinction, that calling, that separating voice in their life. He said, understanding that, now I'm asking you, I'm begging you, walk worthy of that calling. Walk worthy of that calling. You are blessed. You are honored tonight. And he says, this is how you do it, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with. Everybody say with. Bearing with, not bearing one another in love, but bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, have you ever had to bear with somebody? Huh? Maybe somebody next to you, maybe a spouse. Hallelujah. We know what bearing with is all about, right? But he says, do this. And then he says, endeavoring. Endeavoring. I love all these action words. Endeavoring, which just means try hard. Try hard, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he's saying, this is going to be hard, and you're going to have to try hard to get this done. It's not going to be an easy task. And so, how do we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? I believe it's by remembering every day that He overcame the world. He overcame the world, and that through His blood and through His sacrifice, we are overcomers tonight by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, forgiving others because we have been forgiven. This is how we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, oftentimes we think about the unity of the Spirit. We talk about the unity of the Spirit, and that is all very important. But I'm going to tell you what, there is a higher unity. There is a greater unity. He goes on to say in verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure, not the measure that's been given to us, but according to the measure of Christ's gift. So now, as Hebrews 4 and 16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help. Grace to help in the time of need. He's saying, I know it's going to be hard to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You've got to try hard. You've got to work at it. You've got to make an effort to keep your spirit right. And the way that you do it is by reminding yourself every day, He overcame the world, and by His blood, I am an overcomer. So therefore, I'm going to exercise forgiveness. I'm not going to hold grudges. I'm not going to hold on to things. I'm going to let it go, Brother Duffy. I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to forgive so that they can be forgiven. I'm not going to be a stumbling block to anyone. He says, but this is hard. This is going to be difficult, and you've got to try hard. But I'm going to give you a measure of grace. Hallelujah. To help you in this effort. I'm going to give you a measure of grace based upon the measure that was given to Christ. So he says, go ahead, come boldly before the throne and ask for that grace. Hallelujah. Anybody wrestling with something tonight? Anybody fighting with someone tonight or something? There's a measure of grace out there for you if you'll access it. If you'll come and ask for it tonight. Would somebody get excited tonight about what God has made available to us? Hallelujah. Verse 11. Not only that, he says, but he gives gifts to men. He himself, amen, gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, to supply them. So he not only gives us a measure of grace, but he gave me to you. What a gift. Amen. He gave Pastor Gilliland to you. What a gift. But you know what? He gave you to us. Amen. And so he says, so that we can equip you to do the work of the ministry and to grow up the body of Christ. And this is the unity that I want to talk about real quickly tonight. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. So he says, the unity of the Spirit is something we're going to have to try hard at. But I've given you a measure of grace. I've given you other gifts to help you to achieve that. But you're going to have to work at that every day. But there's a goal, Brother Gilliland. And that's till we all come to the unity of the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a place, amen, that the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man and to the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Brother, you have that other slideshow up there. I want to walk through that real quickly. And this kind of ties in to what I was saying earlier. Praise God. Yeah, that one right there. Go back to that. Yeah. Amen. For those of you who can't see, if it's not clear, this is a wall of seeds. How many of you ever stood at Home Depot or Lowe's? Like my wife says, Home Depot. Amen. And you stood in front of this wall right here and said, man, that doesn't look so hard. Now, I know we're out here in farming country, and so there's probably some green thumbs out here, but I'm an urban boy. I know I have a green thumb, but I've stood before that wall many times and said, man, I think we just add some water, and man, it won't be long. We'll have some color in the front yard. Anybody can relate to what I'm talking about? But I'll tell you what, next slide. I've learned that just add water doesn't necessarily work. Next slide. Growing things is difficult. Next slide. Amen. Paul told us, amen, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the increase. And he goes on to say, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. So don't get all excited because God used you at one time. He used the donkey once. So, amen. You're not special because that one Sunday night God spoke through you or used you. It's God. Remember, it's God who gets the glory. It's God who makes things grow. It's God who makes things happen. We get the benefit, but God gets the glory. Next slide. Amen. A wise farmer can only plant what is available to him, what he has access to. If you don't have access to 40 acres, why are you trying to plant 40 acres? Amen. You may only have access to a kitchen garden. Then plant your kitchen garden. Whatever you have access, plant it. You may not have a fancy tractor like this. You may just have a spade and a hoe. Then get after it. Next slide. This is how I feel most of the time. Amen. Just a planter, just a pot. Amen. But I'm putting seed and I'm putting water and I might even be talking to those seeds. Come on up. Amen. I'm encouraging them, grow. Anybody can relate to me? Any human beings out here tonight? Amen. Next slide. It may be a kitchen table that you're gathering around and you're just sowing and watering. Next slide. It may be another sitting room in which you are gathering. Amen. Next slide. It may be in diverse communities that you are sowing into. Next slide. Amen. But if the soil is receptive, hallelujah. Next slide. And it is ready to receive the word. Next slide. There will be an increase because God honors the watering. Next slide. And if the ministry is properly watered with anointing, and next slide, and he is honored by his peers and respected. The next slide, then the hands that labor will be multiplied. Hallelujah. It's just natural, as we said, for things to grow. Now, you can turn that off now, brother. Amen. I'm sharing with you that because faith is a seed. Faith is a seed. And I'm trying to encourage somebody here tonight to just start sowing into the kingdom. Like you've never sowed before. So liberally into the kingdom. You know, faith is a noun. It's a noun. It means a person or a place or a thing. Or sometimes they say it's an idea. But I'm going to tell you what. Faith does not live as an idea. Amen. Faith does not live unless it is exercised in the living, breathing world. As James said, faith without works is dead. So in essence, faith is a seed. Is this connecting with anybody tonight? Faith is a seed that we've got to nurture and we've got to grow. Amen. He said, you got to try hard, amen, to keep the unity of the Spirit. But if we're going to have the unity of the faith, we're going to have to sow some things. And we're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to put some things in the hand of the Lord. I'm speaking to somebody, and I felt to say this to someone. Go ahead and step out. Peter, step out of that boat. Go ahead and step out and honor what God is asking of you tonight. Faith must be put into motion for it to live and to be alive. Amen. It's only relevant or active once it is planted. One of the more visible truths in life is this: whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. It's not only biblical, it's just an international truth. We understand that. We accept that. You reap what you sow. And I'm here to tell you tonight, all sowing is faith. All sowing in life is exercising faith. Think about it. When we invest our time into an occupation, when you get up 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock, whenever you have to go to work in the morning, you are exercising faith. Because there is expectation, amen, of a paycheck at the end of your pay term. Amen. Otherwise, why are you getting up at 6 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning and making that drive and fighting the traffic? Why are you doing that? Because there is expectation in your heart. You are sowing into what you expect to return to you. When we invest our money monthly into a mortgage, we expect to eventually own a home. Amen. It's investment. When we invest the treasure of our example, the treasure of our wisdom, the treasure of our experience, the treasure of our earthly wealth into our children, all of these things, that are, we don't expect to reap disrespectful, amen, troublemaker. No, we expect to inherit God-fearing, respectful, loving, community-enhancing, successful children. We are sowing, we are investing. So what I'm saying tonight, faith then is defined by its fruits. That's what defines whether you are sowing or not. Amen. James said, show me your faith by your works. Faith is not something we just preach about and talk about. Faith is only alive when we get out there. And it's us and God. Hallelujah. And we're standing upon the word. I heard someone say, sometimes that's all you've got is a word. Get on it and stand on it and wade and water it and nurture it until God gives an increase. Amen. Don't tell me how faithful you are. Don't tell me how much faith you have. Let your fruits do your speaking for you. Let the fruits of faith in your life testify. Here's a woman. Here's a man. Here's a family of faith. We are instructed by the word of God, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Obviously, if you sow abundantly, you will reap abundantly. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap dead things. It's just that simple. Hallelujah. If your life's all about material things and the bigger house and the better car and the better clothes and the better things, then you're going to reap dead things at the end of your life. But if your life is about those things that are spiritual and eternal and you are sowing into the kingdom where moth and rust does not corrupt, the promise is you will reap. You will reap an eternal harvest. Amen. And you will reap living things. Just as you cannot sow the seeds of an apple tree and expect oranges. Where's my oranges? What happened to my oranges? Well, you sowed an apple tree. I'm telling you tonight, just as that is true. I know this. But I'm telling you tonight, you cannot sow love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost and not and reap in return anger, malice, stress and anxiety. Come on. Why are we so angry? Why are we so frustrated? Why are we so can't get along? Why are we so full of malice? Why are we so full of anxiety in our life tonight? Where are the sowers of faith? Amen. You cannot sow into this thing and not reap the peace of God. That is your inheritance tonight. The peace and the power of God.
Amen. Everybody in this room, you know what I'm talking about is true. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, it does you no good to know it. It's what you put into action that matters tonight. In closing, a warning, my closings are a bit long. I know we're already over time. I'm trying my best, folks, to get in and out of here fast. But I'm still in a jet lag, so give me a break. Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That means they were all together. Something brought them together. We know what it is, right? They were waiting for the promise of the Father, waiting to be endued with power from on high. That was the promise. If you will go and wait, you will receive. So they were exercising faith. Not everybody came. There were 500 at the ascension, right? Or something like that. Amen. Only 120 in the upper room. So not everybody exercised faith. But the 120 said, okay, we're going to go wait. I don't know how many days, 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, 100 days, whatever. But we're going to wait until, because he said it's coming. And then we know on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven like as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the... Suddenly it came. I'm going to tell you what, my friends, you cannot exercise faith in God without suddenly releasing confidence into your spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. You people of faith don't walk around wringing their hands and slumping their shoulders and constantly calling, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. No. Amen. People who are exercising faith daily, who are standing out there with God, I'm going to tell you what, there is a confidence and an assurance that is just natural to the sowing of faith that comes into your spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Hallelujah. Any people of faith in this house? Hallelujah. That just causes you to rise up above the clouds. Huh? Amen. And see a little bit differently than everybody else is seeing. Viewing things in a different perspective. Amen. Because I'm living my faith. You cannot exercise faith in God without suddenly feeling the peace of God. Hey, this thing was bigger than me to begin with. And so what? I just took him at his word and I said, whew, there you go, God. I cast all my care upon you. You said you care for me. Amen. I'm just going to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and I'll let you worry about all these other things. Amen. Taking him at his word, there's just a peace that comes over us and says, you know what? I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be all right. I think God's going to make a way. You can't exercise faith without suddenly experiencing freedom. It's a loosing of the chains of doubt and fear that like to get a hold of us and influence us. There's a loosening of that. Amen. And now all we can see are possibilities. Hallelujah. All we can see is the freedom and we feel alive and we feel like, hey, everything's going to be. You can't exercise faith without experiencing suddenly. I'm not talking about 10 years down the road, but suddenly empowering hope, anticipation, expectation. But I want us to notice in Acts chapter 2, they came together. A lot of things that bring us together. A lot of things that bring interests bring us together. Arts, games, hobbies, we gather around. This is probably the thing that brings unity of humans more than anything. Fear. Fear brings us together. Amen. Fear of a common enemy. I don't really like them, but I like them much less. And so the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Hey, come on, let's bind together and let's take them out. This is how humanity works. Amen. And sometimes there's positive things that come out of fear. You know, we often preach people into conviction because we, you know, God, if you don't line up, you know, bad things are coming. You're going to reap a bad harvest because you're sowing bad things. And people wake up. You know, pastor's right. Oh, God, what can I do? Oh, there's an altar. Thank God. I can repent and I can get right with God. And then I feel hope again. Hallelujah. I can get up and go forward. But there's a higher unity. And that's the unity of faith. The unity of faith tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, when you get to the end. You know, the Bible tells us we've been given a measure of faith, right? And we get to the end of your strength. Sometimes the man said, "Help my unbelief." Sometimes we just need a little more faith, don't we? I need some more faith. How do I get more? Well, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's not just, again, hearing the preacher. Words. It's that, but it's also hearing the good news. You know what, brother? I tell you what. Amen. I was in prayer today. God promised me, man. I'm holding on to that promise. Let me tell you, suddenly, peace is coming to my heart. Suddenly, confidence is in my soul. Hallelujah. I'm feeling good. Let me tell you, woo, or, you know, something good happens. But God, let me tell you, brother, you know, we've been praying about it. We've been believing. We've been standing. We haven't gotten distracted. We've kept our course. Hey, let me tell you, I got the phone call today. Woo, hallelujah. Let me tell you, I got the answer today. Woo, hey, I got the raise today. I got the job today. Amen. And we rejoice together. Hallelujah. And faith is fed. Trying to tell somebody tonight, you cannot invest in the kingdom and not reap bountifully, suddenly, the harvest. Faith, power, love. Acts chapter 2. Amen. We see this is what happened. Amen to them. Hallelujah. Maybe your system will come up quicker than mine, brother. Amen. There we go. Hallelujah. Verse number 46. So now they've exercised faith. Suddenly it's come upon them. And now this is how they went forward. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Does this sound like a bunch of moaning, groaning, oh God, help us kind of people? No. Amen. There's a simplicity of the peace and the tranquility and the comfort that's in these words and in their actions. And then they are praising God. And notice, having favor with all of the people. Now, they've been exercising trust in God. And now, what are they reaping? Community now has faith and trust in them. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, we have cried about it, we have prayed about it, we have danced about it, we have thrown numbers up on the screen, and then we just kind of just see it fade away. Amen. I'm telling you, the harvest that God wants us to reap is going to be reaped through faith, through the sowing of faith in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Just as interest brings people together, just as fear brings people together, let some people begin to exercise faith. I said, let some people begin to say, you know what? Amen. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what they say. I don't care how long it's been since. I'm going to get on out here. Hallelujah. I'm going to be numbered. I'm going to get vulnerable. I'm going to get myself in a position where if God doesn't do something, I'm going to be embarrassed. Hallelujah. But you know what? I trust God. Hallelujah. I have faith in Him. I am putting my faith to work. I am putting my faith into action. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. That is contagious. That is contagious. Hallelujah. There is the unity of the Spirit. That's hard. You got to try hard keeping the bond of peace. People like to be around peaceful people. Amen. But that's hard to keep cultivated. But when you begin to walk with God in the power of faith and trust, there is something innate in that, that you begin to reap faith and trust from others. Hey, you know what? Amen. I believe that God. Hallelujah. I'm going to follow Him. I want to. People begin to gather together and link arms together. And I know that this is not a place and a position that we're going to hold all the time, because the Scripture tells us that this is the unity of the faith. Happens when we'll come to the full measure of Christ and all of that. And we won't be like Him until we see Him as He is, right? If you're striving for perfection down here, amen, just get over it. It's not going to happen in this life. Amen. I'm telling you,
Hallelujah. Amen. The point is, exercise the faith and trust that God, amen, I'm going to get out here and you're going to give me the grace that I need. You've measured it out. Amen. If you've measured it to Christ, so I'm just going to come boldly before the throne of grace. I'm going to ask for that help. Hallelujah. But here's what I believe. It comes in seasons. It comes in seasons. Yeah, there's going to be a time when we're all unified by faith. That's when we get to heaven. Hallelujah, it's going to bring us all together. But faith, when exercised in seasons, Pastor, I'm talking to this church tonight. Amen. In seasons, if we will come together in faith. I'm not talking about, again, just talking about it. I'm talking about people start exercising. Hallelujah. Pastor, amen, you called for something. Amen. You know what? Nobody else is... I'll step out. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll get out here. I'll help you with this. Pray. Come on, Pastor. I'll link arms with you. Amen. Let's just believe. I know it doesn't look very promising right now. I know it. Maybe people say, well, that's been tried and it didn't work. Amen. But Pastor, if God's spoken into your heart something, amen, I want to agree with you. I see that you're putting it out there. I see that you're putting yourself on the line. You know what? That inspires me. Hallelujah. That makes me feel like there's a higher purpose. There's a bigger reason for all of this. And I want to link arms. And I'm going to tell you what. There are seasons, I've seen it, that faith brings people together in such a way. Hallelujah. 3,000 were added to the church on that day. 5,000 a little bit later on. Hallelujah. In one day. Come on, my friends. Hallelujah. You want to change this community? You want to shake up Kendallville? You want to shake up this county? What's the county's name out here? Noble County, hallelujah, amen. You want to shake Indiana, amen, to its very core and foundation, then start exercising some faith at home, faith at work, faith at school, faith with each other, hallelujah, and God will give favor. And finally, he says, stand together. He added to the church daily, such as should be. Amen. You may stand. You may sit if you wish. I don't care. That's what got in my spirit on the plane flying over here. Amen. I got to work on this some more. Cultivate it some more. But I'm going to tell you what. I've seen this in action. Hallelujah. And I've come to tell Kendallville tonight, it's time to unite around faith. Hallelujah. Get busy. Get busy. Don't tell me how faithful you are. Don't tell me how much you love God and how much God has done for you. Get busy about exercise. Get it into the living, breathing world. Get out there and teach a Bible study. Get out there and just tell your story to somebody. Get out there and help the needy. Get out there and make an effort. Hallelujah. And see if you don't reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. I know it's late. I know you got to go. But maybe there's somebody that wants to respond to this word tonight. Amen. I know I didn't tell you about raising the dead. I know I didn't tell you about we baptized 500 people last Sunday. All that happened. All that has happened. But what's important is right here tonight. Not what's happening in Cambodia. What's important is what's happening right here tonight in Kendallville. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that the word said... I remember that feeling. I know what Pastor's talking about tonight. Amen. Would you step out? Would you come forward? Would you make a statement of faith tonight and say, God, I'm going home and we're going to get out of the boat now. Hallelujah. We're going to step out on the water. Amen. I know it's rough and I know it's water and I know that usually when you step on water, you sink. But Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Hallelujah. I want to trust you. Come on, hallelujah. Anybody want to step out and you want to just make a statement? I'm going to trust God, amen, in an exponential way. I'm going to trust God in a crazy way. I'm not talking about just being nuts for nuts' sake, but I'm talking about, amen, God has spoken a word in your life. God has said, I want you to do, I want you to go, I want you to say, and you've been, oh, I don't know, that's getting me out of my comfort zone. Would you just answer it tonight? Would you just answer faith and see what God will do in your life tonight? Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Come on.